Even a small kindness helps things get better for yourself and for all of us. Let's go kind together.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
The following program is for mature audiences only.
Art.
Arch.
Star.
Star.
See.
All too much. I am Face Girl, and with us in the studio we have Velocity Child and Richard Pryor Jr. All right, guys, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing great.
I'm having a wonderful weekend.
I'm breathing.
I know. How is your head?
Well, my head is attached, but it hurts like hell. But I'm here doing what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. If you're wondering why it's so awkward having a little bit of technical difficulties, like as per usual. But yeah, we were talking earlier about you feeling all right today, though.
Well, I'm adjusting to these headaches. They're called bicipolar migraines. I found out,
whoa,
and they told me that the neurologist said they're genetic, and generally women get them, and they said I actually get them from my mother, and I went for like a couple months with just dizziness, and I thought I was having vertigo, and they gave me medicine for vertigo, and I found out it wasn't vertigo. Actually, the dizziness I get is an onset of the migraine starting. It's like a symptom,
like a precursor.
I can tell when the migraines are coming because I start getting dizzy.
Oh, God.
Everything starts spinning, and then
it's like when you feel a panic attack coming
right
on.
So sure enough, I've noticed now that when I get dizzy,
mm-hmm,
sure enough, the headache, I can feel that the intensity of the headache starting. And it's not at the, you know, the base is right in the back of my head towards the top where they start.
Oh, no.
Has it had any correlation with the weather at all?
No.
No, it just happens.
It happens.
And it's nothing to do with all of the wild hair growth you're experiencing.
Have you considered that? Yeah. Imagine. Yeah.
It's the grays. It's the grays. The grays are coming out, and it's just...
They're actually silver. They're made of metal, and that's weighing your head down.
Can you talk about why you're growing all this hair?
Oh, my God. I'm doing a movie, and... Well, you know what it is? Well, yeah, I am doing a movie, and my character pretty much lives at an outpost out in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. But before that, I did a movie in Brooklyn a month and a half ago, and I was playing a homeless dude.
Mm.
And they wanted me to look really old, and
yeah,
so I haven't been to a barber since June.
Wow!
No,
yeah,
oh no!
So, and you know it's pretty. You know it's pretty sad though that I haven't shaved since June, and this is all
that's
the facial,
all you've got.
The facial hair.
Are you trimming at all?
No.
That's your pattern. That's it. That's what you've got.
Yeah.
No.
Last November I did the
mangy.
You know, last November I did the no shave. You know, November.
Yeah, Movember.
And I look like I was going through chemo.
Oh, no.
On my face.
Oh, no. No.
Did it take a while for like spots? Was it spotty?
It was just like this.
You're usually very well groomed, too. So
yeah,
this
I know.
Must be
it drives me. Yeah, I feel like explaining it to everybody on the subway or whatever.
All right, attention. I am not a crazy person.
I saw my ex-wife a couple weeks ago, and she said,
"Oh God,
hey Richard, I want to introduce you to my barber."
Really?
No.
And I was like, "Diane, I can't cut my hair. I'm doing a movie."
Oh wow.
She said, "Okay, I was just wondering because I've never seen you look like this."
Worried about you.
She was worried about you going through some bad thought process or something.
It was a midlife crisis or something. I don't know what you would
call it. All right. So let's get to the order of business, the ass party game, the official drinking game. If you drink at home, every time we say ass, take a sip.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you don't drink, maybe just take a little bump or rub some coke on your gums. If you're not into cocaine and you're like this crazy guy on Craigslist, which I will read for you now, then let's get to it. So, sexy girl that wants DP threesome, MM4W Brooklyn. We are two decent looking guys, both 34. 6'5 athletic, 210 pounds, and 5'8 athletic, 168 pounds, that have one thing in common. We love to fuck a wet pussy and a tight ass of a beautiful woman at same time, or all capitals, threesome with fucking mouth pussy / pussy, in case you not into capital A null. Mm. We've done this before, and it has always been a great experience for us. And the lucky lady, if you are an open-minded, decent-looking girl, age 18 to 45, feeling adventurous and wants to know what it's like to have two nice cocks going in and out of you at once, hit us up. We are not pushy. You set the limits. We're down with anything from just hanging out to full DP madness. If you are an anal virgin, I can gently ease you into it where you will feel nothing but pleasure. We are... What's going on, you guys? She numbed you? That's Jamie Arroyo from Welcome to Our House every Saturday at 6.
I'm not going to even ask what numb means.
Well, you guys are having all the fun. Now I know how Faceboy feels over here. You don't get to be in the fun.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's like, I want to make out like with somebody just because my tongue is numb.
Yeah, I gave him some magical tincture.
Yeah, some very magical tincture. Compliments of a merry magical lady.
Richard, would you like some magical
Yes,
tincture?
I would now that I'm
some magical tincture.
Oh, so Faceboy is on Fire Island and he's having trouble getting in calling
he's
on, in.
He's in the straight section
just,
too.
Yeah. The phone just rang.
Oh, I don't know how to do anything. I thought I had it on auto answer.
Jamie, just hang out and be part of the show.
Yeah. You stay. But yeah. So the official ass party game, just take a shot every time we say ass. Every time we say asshole, take a double shot. And every time we say ass, fuck. Just go nuts like everybody in this room right now. Oh my God. It's mayhem. I love it. Absolute mayhem.
Hello?
Hello.
Faceboy. Hey, Faceboy.
Hey.
I have some oysters.
Are you as drunk as you sound?
Are you as sound as you're drunk?
I have an oyster on my dick.
You have an oyster on your dick?
No, I'm gonna have oysters on my dick.
Are you actually drunk or are you playing drunk?
And is oysters a metaphor for pussy?
A metaphor!
Yeah, tacos, that's another metaphor.
I fell.
I'm talking from the floor. They wouldn't let me in the first restaurant.
Are you messing with me right now?
Jesus.
I'm totally messing with you.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm like, I talk to you when you're drunk, and you're never that high-pitched. That's what gave it away.
I'm never that high-pitched?
Yeah, that's the only thing that gave it away. You were very potato puffs about it.
But my girlfriend was so drunk last night, she lost her glasses in the ocean.
Oh. Damn.
Yemaya took them.
She's like, I want to go underwater. I'm like, it's dark. You're drunk. There's a really high tide. Please don't do this. Please. I'm begging you. This is one thing I'm begging you. And she said, this is the one thing I'm begging you for me to do. So I thought she was going to die, but she just lost her glasses.
So I guess that's a fair trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there children around you right now?
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to call from the house. But but
we're the daycare center.
We needed reservations for this restaurant we were going to go to. I didn't think so because it's off season, but we got to go there like now.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get some oysters. I'm a dick.
Yes, and butt stuff. Yeah, there were no children when Velocity and I went to Fire Island.
Thank God.
Just a hot rake boy.
You were not in a children-friendly area.
No, it actually said on the hotel, like,
we were in the adult-friendly area.
Yeah, not recommended for children.
Cheerio.
Yeah, no, not at all. But Seaview is very family-oriented.
Is it the same stuff you gave me?
Mm-hmm. Richard's asking about the magical tincture I just put in his mouth.
Oh, this shit's so off the rails. I love it.
I have said this at the home. You gave me this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
The magic stuff.
All right. Well, you kids have fun.
You too.
Thank you so much, Catherine and Richard and Velocity. Thank you for being guests and thank you for hosting for me. And don't worry about the technical stuff. You're doing a great job.
Why, are you even listening?
Thank you very much.
You're so kind.
Thank you.
Okay.
Love you.
Love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so he's in the straight part of Fire Island. We were in the very gay part of Fire Island.
Yes.
Are we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, something just changed.
Yes, that. Oh, that's.
Is it better?
It's a little bit better. It's a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like loud.
Yeah, no, that's what I was like.
Now it's less intense.
It was like I scared Ethel Merman. Myself.
Ethel Merman was right up in the room.
Hello. But yeah, we had a rake boy.
Oh yes, we did.
Yes, that Velocity actually recorded.
Well, you would ask me.
Did you say rape boy?
Rake, R A K E.
Rake me, my friend.
I'll show you the rake boy. This is, in my opinion, a hilarious.
I must have some stuff on my mind or something.
No, we all thought it. When this woman, this sweet woman that was staying next to us, I was like, "Who's the rake boy?" And she's like, "The rape boy."
Yeah, she thought we said that too. This really beautiful, very glamorous lady.
Yeah, that I'm now friends with on Facebook, and she's a great dog named.
That's awesome.
Annie.
You have to send me her profile.
Daisy,
link.
Rather, I will. But yeah, so I want to do a rake me. A cover of Nirvana, Rape Me, Rape
in
Me.
In honor of the rake boy.
Yeah. While she's looking at that, I was showing someone some pictures of a house one time.
Yeah? A haunted house?
And they were looking at the house. Oh, go ahead.
I put a little background music for the rake boy.
Ambiance.
Oh, the rake boy.
There's the rake boy.
He's sexy. Just rake sand.
Oh, he's raking.
Uh-huh.
Literally,
sand.
He's just raking sand for hours.
Hours of sand raking.
With his top bun and...
And his shirt off.
No shirt.
Velocity did not recognize him later on in the night when he had a shirt on.
Yeah, I didn't realize
he was
a busboy.
She says it was the hair.
No, his hair was all greasy and slicked back, though.
That's not the rake boy. That's not him.
I don't recognize his nipples.
Wait, no, it goes back. There's more.
Oh, there's so much more rake boy.
There's more rake boy action.
Yeah. I did. I insisted that rake boy come out. A regular.
Would it be great if he was a guest on the show? There we go.
If only we knew his name. It's Himbo.
We know that he's Czechoslovakian. Yeah. Is that right? And then we were also told that he was one of the only straight men on that part of the island.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many of those out there.
No. And I'm sure they don't stay that way.
No.
Go there. People will love you. Take up your shirt a little.
You can make some
let
money.
Let us objectify you for a second.
Oh,
yeah. I had a
yes.
feeling. I had a feeling.
Yes.
I could do rake boy.
Yeah.
You
don't
could
do
definitely do
don't
rake
do
boy.
Oh, you flirt.
Oh, you tease. You tease.
Oh, Puerto Rican puppy.
Take my rake ass out of here.
Yes.
Are you really a Puerto Rican poppy? Nice. Is your family, is everybody okay? Have you talked to family?
Oh, shit.
I know you were inquiring. Your friend Nancy is okay, but is nobody's getting word yet.
They're in the mountains, so I know they didn't get flooded out. I don't know if they still have a house.
Damn, shit. Let me know.
So we're thinking about your family, man.
Hmm?
Thinking about your family.
Nah, they'll be fine. We've been through worse.
Yeah.
Worse.
Been on welfare forever. Trust me.
I feel like this
we
is.
We survive.
Yeah.
Well, they do at least.
Always do.
That is. Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you.
Long as there's rice and beans, we're
what?
Good.
You want me to whatever we're
going to
do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
DJ for you. The
oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we like that.
Oh, yeah. We like that.
Richard's coming, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Velocity, you just did the New York Burlesque Fest last night.
Yes, I'm
How
still
was
recovering.
That?
It was amazing. It was really good. It was, yeah, it was really good lineup. It was an incredible cast of talent. And Shelley Watson and Albert Cadabra were hosting. And I narrowly made it.
Yeah, you said your car was...
Yeah. I was having very bad car karma. I called Lyft and then waited. And then they canceled the car. And then I tried Juno. And then I waited. And then they canceled the car. And I didn't know what to do. And I was on the verge of tears because I knew I was super late for my call time.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, into the parking lot comes a car service, Northside car service. And he whisks me and Chernobyl off to the Brooklyn Bowl. And then when I walk in, I hear the music. And there is very familiar sound, the music, because at tech rehearsal, it was literally like the act, right. One or two acts before me.
so no panic mode.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, I don't think I've ever been that pressured or stressed in a very long time, not to that scale.
But you kind of got dressed Cinderella style, right? Like the mice came around and they made your dress.
It's sort of like, yeah, yeah, just sort of floated. There was a lovely lady backstage named Whispers who got to know my ass very well, very quickly. She was putting on the back garters, the ones that are hard to do. And Chernobyl helped me get on the big gown thing. And next thing you know, we were just, as soon as we walked in the door, now we're walking on stage.
Like rock stars.
Thank God. Thank God we got it right. Thank God we our timing was good, and we felt really good about what we did. And that's it was awesome. This big, fat, sweet relief.
That's awesome.
And we had some tequila afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Professionals.
And you're up for a golden pasty.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, it's at the Highline Ballroom. It's the Golden Pasty Awards. Another incredible lineup will be performing as well. And I'm up for the Witch Award. That is the performer most likely to be riding a broomstick. So I've got a nice Medusa headpiece that I'm going to sport tomorrow night.
Now, this is a question I have. Riding a broomstick, does that mean riding a broomstick or riding a broomstick? You know what I mean?
I think it means both, but I've been told that the origin of riding the broomstick had to do with, and I want to say henbane. There's a type of herbal drug, if you will, that you could put on, that they would fuck themselves with. They would put it, like, say, on a handle of a broomstick.
So you know exactly what I meant. Yeah.
And it would, yeah, and it would get them, really, like, and then they would fly, because they would get really high.
High.
Like the absinthe fairy, but with your pussy.
Exactly.
Nice. So it's like a pink fairy.
My eyes are really rolling in the back of my head.
Cheers.
Speaking in tongues. Wow. I show people at karaoke your set. Like, after karaoke, I did Landslide, and some guy was singing. Oh. And I'm like, you need to see this woman.
Aww.
And I showed it to him, and he loved it.
Thank
you. I was like,
thank you.
He has it on his phone. Hopefully he's going to pass it on.
I created that piece for Night of a Thousand Stevies earlier this year. That's where that video is from.
Yeah, and you were saying you have luck every time.
Oh, yeah. Chichi Valenti is my club mother, but she's also just, like, incredibly good luck for me. Anytime she comes to me and says, you know, would you do this thing for me? And then I'm like, yeah. And then always works out great.
Amazing.
Always. It always ends up at a festival somewhere, or yeah. She's like very good luck for me and my art when it comes to performance. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I wish I had a burlesque body, because I'm very theatrical and very...
You have a burlesque body.
Everybody is a burlesque body.
That is the point. Have you seen...
I'm extremely...
There are a lot of swarthy, handsome, plus-size gents in the burlesque community.
Because I'm very theatrical, very...
And the microphone agrees.
Yeah, just popped. Microphone popped on that.
Yeah.
You should try it. I want to try it.
Like, one of my favorite performers, Broody Valentino.
I would love to go from drag to a dude.
Yeah? Like, as your piece?
Yeah.
I love that. Like to start out drag and then take it all off.
Yeah.
Get stripped down.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna show you a photo of Brody Valentine.
Or so go from a dude.
You'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Drag.
Yeah.
That also. I feel like that would take more time.
Can I tell you when I did a number one time in drag and the lesbian dyke girls they hated. They were so pissed off.
Why?
I did a number called, you know, the song Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah.
I was doing the number, right? I was doing the number very serious. And did you ever know you were my hero? That part came up. I pulled a dildo out.
What?
And I greased up a dildo with Vaseline and started riding the dildo. And that was my hero.
I have one actor where I do that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's hard lesbians, to do on stage.
The lesbians were not too amused.
Why? What was the problem?
What's the problem with the dildo?
They were pissed off because...
They use dildos too.
Oh, I know, but they were just—they were not having it that a drag queen was doing that with their song.
I don't think it's their song. I think the gay guys get that. I don't think lesbians get that song.
Are we talking about Beaches, right?
Yeah, no, lesbians don't get that song.
That's gay man. Yeah, that's gay man music.
It was. Yeah, that's what I thought.
What kind of music do lesbians get?
Oh, lots. Are we kidding? Don't even go there. Of course.
Oh, Ani DeFranco, right?
Okay, well now you're just reaching for the stereotype.
Well, yeah. I mean, just like Beaches would be a stereotype, wouldn't
the rock,
it?
Rock, go to, yes, Frankie Goes Hollywood. Yeah, that can be a mixture. Yeah,
mm-hmm. There you have it. Maybe Elvis.
Yeah. Katie Lang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a stereotype, but yeah.
I used to love
Melissa Etheridge. There's another stereotype.
Yeah.
Yeah, stereotype, definitely.
Tracy Chapman.
Speaking of stereotypes and everything of gays, they're bringing back Dynasty.
I did see that. Is that what that is?
On CW, I saw...
Dallas would be so much cooler than
Dallas.
Dynasty
came back and left.
It did?
Yeah,
I saw Dallas.
Oh, it fizzled.
Dallas.
No, it was on for a few years. Dynasty, this season.
Who's the Joan Collins?
I don't know if it's Joan. I know the main characters.
Who's the big character?
Are Crystal and Fallon. Crystal and Fallon.
Okay.
Crystal
was the blonde
rich diva. That was Linda Evans.
Yes, I forgot her name.
And Fallon was... the daughter of...
Who was the Joan
Alexis' daughter.
Alexis was Joan Collins, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But they haven't said anything about Alexis. And Blake is played by Andre Hsu.
Andrew Hsu?
Andrew Hsu.
Oh, my God. He's working again.
Yeah.
I don't mean that.
I know what you mean. Girl.
I just like...
And it takes place in Atlanta instead of Denver.
Interesting.
And there is an energy company. Instead of oil, is energy or something of that nature.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it's based off instead of Blake's perspective, it's off the women's perspective now. Because they're looking at, like, you know, how the Kardashians, the women. And
yeah.
Oh, was the original very male POV?
It was based on, you know, Blake's money and, you know, they fought all for, you know, his money.
I never followed the plot.
Yeah.
I just looked at the dresses.
Oh, the dresses and Dominique Devereaux.
And the hairs. I mean, styles.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, but
are they going to keep the padded shoulders?
I doubt it. They need it though.
And the sprayed helmet hair.
They'll be like, what the hell?
I really want to see a recreation of the epic battle physical.
Oh, they said there's going to be fighting.
You know, the cat fight between Linda Evans and Joan Collins. You've seen that scene.
They used to have some great fights.
Yeah. No, there's one real knockdown drag out.
The one in the water when they fell
in
the
pool. Yes, it's all outside. Yes, yes.
Oh, that was a great
one. I wasn't a fan, and I even remember that scene.
Oh, that one. And then when they fought in the house, the paintings, and they were fighting. Over the couch. And oh, yeah.
I now understand a Family Guy reference. You just described like
the
things,
fighting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where like she's fighting and her bra comes out. Yeah.
They fight forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I love a good cat fight.
Me too.
I really do.
Speaking of cat fights, Trump dump. It was a very politically heated coming up to it, right? Like you got some attention.
Oh. Well, yeah, some people weren't happy that I wanted to take a big dump on Trump with me and my burlesque friends. But it went really well.
It did.
It really did. I felt that Michael Formica Jones and Juliet Jeske were comedy gold together. I think they killed it.
Tell me more about this, please.
The performers were great. Oh, yeah. It was an incredible lineup.
Because I couldn't come.
Femme Appeal brought her Abraham Lincoln number.
She's so good.
I remember that. I debuted my Handmaid's Tale knife act that's new. Because what better act of rebellion for a handmaiden than to like
knife.
Destroy her reproductive parts?
Yeah, it was very like, you said it was multiple handmaids, right? Like it was the main handmaid, the one that won, that got pregnant. Like it's kind of all of them in one.
Like an amalgam. Yeah. Yeah. What was your favorite parts of the, what were your highlights of the evening? Because I know you were, enjoyed it very much.
I did. I love everything that Femme Appeal does. I love everything that you do, so obviously. Oh, and so. What I thought was so powerful, two things that were really, really powerful was...
Faux pas le fait.
Exactly.
Was extremely powerful.
Yes. That just...
Jaw-dropping.
Yeah. It was such like a moment after where the hosts were speechless. Like they were like, I don't even know what to say.
And it was her performance about the army and the transgendered.
Yeah.
All of that.
And is that a new piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, I don't know if she made it specifically for
it's so perfect
the Trump dump, but it was definitely new.
Yeah.
It was, you know, newsworthy and quite timely.
I definitely felt feelings. I also, main attraction, I feel like I learned so much history.
American Woman.
Just so good. It was just so many
music. And when she takes that hair pick.
Yeah.
And starts picking her pubes. Yes. It's just,
beautiful.
Makes me so happy.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch of drama
Richard,
about.
Richard, you'd love the main attraction. She would blow your mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great. American
You'd probably want to do it with her, be honest.
Nice.
I'm just saying.
And of course, Waymast. I love Waymast. And she made me feel what she was feeling.
And
so she conveyed those emotions.
Can you describe Waymast's piece that opened the night?
Well, the statue.
Because I didn't get to see it, unfortunately, because I followed her. I was in backstage in costume. And yeah.
Right, because you were going on next. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Waymast, her friend T.Z. Roosevelt comes out dressed like the Statue of Liberty, stabbed herself in like...
Harry carried.
Yeah, exactly. She dies, and then Waymast comes out as this beautiful Mexican woman, and she's just sad.
A bit like almost like a Day of the Dead quality with the headpiece.
Thank you, Richard.
Well done.
I was so manly.
Yeah,
I can be manly
men. Riding tricycles. Like
my wrist hurts.
Oh no, does it really?
Oh, honey. I have some Vicks Vapor Rub if you want to put it on there. Yeah. Okay.
Oh wow.
Should I give you a little refill? We want a little more?
No, I'd want to take everything of yours.
Oh, she brought enough.
I brought enough for everybody.
She's well prepared.
Yeah. A little more Panamanian rum.
All right, guys, we're almost at the halfway mark.
Okay.
How do we feel about doing a top 10?
I was just going to say, is it
top 10
time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Top 10 or something.
I'm very excited about this week's top 10 list.
Because you know what it is.
I know what it is. Do you know what it is,
He
Richard?
Does not yet.
No, I don't.
Ooh,
you
this,
whore.
Now I'm wet.
Yes, I
now
bet
I'm
you
just
are.
Now I'm sopping wet.
Nice. I'm very happy to hear that. We can wash your panties on Jamie's abs.
I'm sliding off the chair.
Uh-huh. So, you know the top 10, right? Top 10, something that could be porn.
Yes.
So this is top 10 Richard Pryor Jr. projects found on your IMDb page that could be
that
porn.
Could be porn. Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yes. So you guys, so tell me what you think it
gotcha.
Is.
Gotcha. Well, Catherine
and you know
gotcha.
How to play.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number one.
Yes.
Bustin' Loose. All right. What do we think it is?
I think it's Bukkake.
Nice. Yeah. Right?
I think that's the genre.
Is that pretty much what it was?
It's real.
Yeah. You were a PA on that. Yeah. All right. Number two. Selling Stupid.
Selling
Stupid.
Selling Stupid.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just blonde hair, big tits.
Yeah. Pimp stuff. Very like.
Wow. We're rocking that music loud.
Oh, I will lower it. Thank you.
I'm like having a party in my brain right now.
Actually, Selling Stupid, I played a priest. So yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, wow.
Yeah.
A twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2007.
I wish we could play the trailers on here. So.
Can you imagine?
Yes. I can look them up. I can definitely look them up.
Yeah, there. I have it on my thing. Yeah.
All right. Number three, Once in a Blue Moon.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That has to be something with ass.
Right?
See, everybody has to take a drink or a bump now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. That has something to do with ass.
So, yeah. And also, Lou, for me, is a little bit of bathroom. It's not spelled that way, but something dirty.
Why does that sound familiar to me?
Because you were thanked. It was a documentary. They thanked you for it.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's a doc company. Oh, documentary company.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how did I forget that?
It's been a while.
It's all right. We'll edit it out. We won't edit this out.
Right.
Number four, Forgiven, This Gun for Hire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be something fetishy for me.
Definitely.
Fetishy.
Yeah. Very fetishy.
Yeah. Like a staged non-consensual arrangement.
Yeah, fetishy.
And that's not what you're growing your hair for now, is it? No.
Oh, that's real?
You don't even know?
No.
Yeah. It says you played a buffalo soldier. This is your real life.
We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, it's coming out in 2018. I was wondering if that's why you were... So that's what it's called. Just
also,
show up.
All these things are actually there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not making any of this up.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting Grace. Number five, Getting Grace.
Yeah, Getting Grace.
Speaking of priests.
Getting Grace actually just actually won like four awards at a film festival. So it's actually doing very well.
What genre of porn do you think Getting Grace would be?
Well, it's definitely like priesty to me. So the dark web.
Yeah, the dark web. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Number six, College Debts, where you actually play Ivana Stupp.
Ivana Fuck.
Yeah.
It's that whole teen porn.
Yeah.
I played a drag queen in that.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
I have to see that.
I need to see these things.
We want to see that.
It's a horrible, horrible film.
But you make such a good drag queen.
I played an excellent drag queen.
But no dildo that day.
No dildo.
No. Not that day. Yeah. And, all right. Number seven, Coming Into My Own.
Oh my God, these sound so perverted
that is
now.
The porn, I know. That is the porn where you porn where you suck your own dick off.
Yeah.
So you're literally coming into your own.
Yeah.
You know what's it's so bad. I've tried to bend down there to do that. And I just can't do it. But
if I had a dick, I would try to.
I've tried.
I would. I've tried on my pussy and I can't reach it.
You tried on your...
Well, everybody has to at some point.
You must have a big clit.
I'm just really flexible. That's what I was banking on, my flexibility.
Oh, my God.
Working out. But I need fewer ribs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I need fewer ribs and, like, you know, like a spine made out of jelly or something.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Number eight, Bachelor's Grove.
What? Ooh. Oh, that's a gangbang porn if I ever heard
it. It sounds like a gangbang porn.
For me, it's also set on Fire Island.
Yes!
Bachelor's Grove.
It's gay gangbang porn. Yeah. It's gay gangbang.
No, it's straight guys who want to experience.
What if it's just one straight guy who wants to experience and it's all these gay guys who are going to fuck the shit out of him?
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, right? Right? It's kind of hot. Yeah. It's kind of hot. I'm feeling it.
I realize I'm doing the numbers backwards, so I'll do it now. Number two, Beyond the Basement.
Oh my god. That is abduction porn.
Actually,
really? Abduction
for me, it was
porn.
Butt stuff, but that's better.
But actually, it's beyond the basement door.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
That is dirtier.
Wow. That's almost like behind the green door.
Yes.
Right?
And the number one Richard Pryor Jr. project that could be porn. The Color Purple.
Oh my God.
You're talking those blue waffles.
Blue balls.
You're
waffles.
The Color Purple
production assistant.
I did production on it.
Oh no shit.
That's when I used to go buy cocaine for Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh shit.
Is that a true story?
Wow.
We'll talk later. That's amazing.
Was she on it when she was doing the razor blade scene when she was shaving him? You want to act like it's I just have fantasies about that right now. I'm sorry.
Of course, the answer is no for those of you listening
of course
at home.
Not. Of course
I made that entire story up.
We're just fucking around with
y'all. We're joshing you all.
Hey, no mind. We're just a bunch of hookers. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the top 10 Richard Pryor Jr. projects that
well
could be
played, Catherine.
Thank you.
Well played.
And yeah. I was going to say something. I forget. We're still live. I was going
to Oh my God. No, say it. Say it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I am not going to stop you. Party is just beginning.
I'm dying to. I can tell it's like on your lips. It's right there. Between your teeth.
Ooh.
That was actually fun. That was great.
What?
I never expected that.
Good.
Cool. I feel like I just like got off a nice little Ferris wheel ride.
It was a fun ride. Yeah. Damn.
That's another porn title. It was a fun ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ferris wheel.
And then we fell off.
Speaking of falling off fun rides, you shared a book with me that I read pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm impressed. Right after we got back from Fire Island, I gave you this book to read.
Yeah, I would walk home reading it. I felt like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. What's going on?
Here,
is it a smell? Are you hot? Are you sneezing?
Did you have some tincture?
No, it's the medicine.
Oh, the heat. The heat flash. I can turn the AC on. It will disrupt the sound, but I think you'll feel better.
I brought a big diva fan. Here, hold on. Let me crack this open all the way.
Oh, you cracked it like Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
And that is something, what?
Oh, that's the AC going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That happened as I was flicking the fan. I'm like, did my fan make that sound?
That was actually really cool.
I was like, whoa, I really am a witch.
I've got power.
It is doing a little wind sound, yeah. So yeah, I Am Not Ashamed, the story of Barbara Payton, told by Barbara Payton.
Yes.
In basically a hotel room.
Yes, her pimp's hotel room.
Yeah.
And she was drinking cheap wine that the sleazy reporter gave her. And and then she just spilled beans.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was a big movie star in the 1950s. Gorgeous. Men fought over her. Like, it was in the papers. She was a walking, gorgeous
scandal. She loved the
Negroes.
She did. And that almost...
She talks about it in that book. Yeah.
And how it could have brought her down. And she was like, I don't care. I love him. Like, I'm going to bring him around. And he's like, I don't want to do that. She doesn't name who he is, but he's a young Hollywood star,
right,
up and coming.
Nat King Cole.
Yeah, and she says that over and over again, how much she's always appreciated the Negro man.
The Negro.
She even talks about a negress. That's an interesting word. Negress.
It's like tigress.
Yeah, I think it's sexy.
It does sound sexy, although
it's probably offensive.
It's extremely offensive.
It's extremely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Richard Pryor Jr. for acknowledging that.
It's
saying,
oh, look at that little negrette.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? You see, look at the little negrette. Isn't she so pretty with the little berets on her hair?
That's actually the name of my favorite pastry in Greek. In Greece. It's negraki. Negraki. They're little like black, like chocolate things. They're like little hamburgers and they're called negraki.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the translation.
Yeah. Well, we know that she loved her pimp.
Yeah, she did.
And she was found on the Sunset Boulevard walking the strip after being a big time movie star.
Wow.
And that's when this reporter found her and made an arrangement, paid her to have her alone for a couple of days in a motel room at the
Yeah, and she died shortly after it was published.
Yeah, heroin overdose.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the name of the book by Barbara Payton is called I Am Not Ashamed. Ooh, what did I just do?
That'd be incredible screenplay.
I know.
Right?
I'm shocked that it's not already a movie.
I keep waiting for her story to be told.
Just like I want to.
It's better
that would
than
be
Frances
incredible
Farmer.
Screenplay. Another screenplay would be incredible is Black Wall Street.
Tell me about Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
In the 30s.
Yeah.
It was the Black Wall Street.
No shit.
Businesses, black businesses, banks, their own banks, and everything else. And riots started. Ended up being torn down, rioted, ended up being bombed and everything.
Bombed?
Yeah.
What?
What were the riots
secretly
about? Was it?
It was supposedly between black and white
race,
riots. But it had nothing really to do. It was supposedly about something happened, that something was done, which never really happened. But it was because the blacks didn't need to depend on the whites for anything because they had their own mm-hmm. businesses, their own churches, mm-hmm. their own banks, their
they
own
had
everything.
Autonomy,
which is yes. yeah. what they the and, number one thing fascists want to control.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they went to their neighborhoods and burnt everything and killed them and burnt oh them God. And burnt everything down. That's how the group, the Gap Band, got their name.
The what Gap?
So look up the Gap Band.
I remember
Band.
The Gap.
Look up the Gap Band.
Did they come out around the same time Kool and the Gang, right?
So it was
same, job, Tulsa, same time period?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where mm-hmm. it happened.
Wow.
And if you look, there was a military thing there with bombs that were dropped in the area and everything.
Fuck.
It dealt with that area. It was never talked about again.
I've never. Why didn't I hear about this in school when I was growing
look
up?
Look up. You won't hear about it.
When? What year did this happen? '30s? You said the '30s. So, I should have heard about this in school.
So, no, they control
like,
what you
It's like
learn.
You never heard about Roswell.
Yeah, you know, and it's like one of the reasons I love the TV show Drunk History. Because I actually
learn
more because they actually talk about stories that you don't get to hear about in school. I hope they do this one.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I've always Jesus. Wanted, that's one of the films I've always, I said, I wish I could do a film about.
That if would if be an epic
money,
movie.
If I had the money.
That movie would be fucking epic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Write it.
Black Wall Street.
I'm sure.
Write that
sure
shit.
Sure, you can make it happen.
Write it down.
You've got a book coming out, right? Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, God, please yeah. tell us about your book.
Yeah, I got a book deal.
When's the book? Do you know when the signing is? Because I'm going to be in the front
No, I don't know when the signing is, but okay. I have a contract now.
Oh.
And what it was, like 2 years, 2015, I actually was working with a literary agent here in the city, uh-huh. a boutique literary agent who worked with They worked with this writer who writes a lot of books with, like, you know, did a Marvin Gaye biopics. They did Aretha Franklin's. They did Aretha, you know, different artists. They did, what's his name? Willie Nelson's. His name was David Ritz. He's done a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was David Ritz. He's done a lot. He was working with me. And he had one of his assistants at first working with me, right? on my proposal, like for the book. Mm-hmm. And I was working with this agency, Vigliano Associates, working with them. I signed with them. They were interested after they heard my story. They were like, oh yeah, we like this story. So I had a friend of mine, Kimberly Scheinwald, who mm-hmm. and her husband, Alan, who threw my birthday party. For me.
That was so fun, by
Alan,
the way.
Thanks
Alan,
for the invite.
I actually did invite
you. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
What?
Yes,
on Facebook.
Did. Oh,
yes, I did.
Fuck.
So you got to check your Facebook invite.
Damn it. No.
I invited Facebook.
Oh, I'm so yeah. sad. I yep. totally would have come. I yeah. don't ever.
So anyway,
all right, thank you then.
They actually, Alan actually put up the money for me to sign with them for my proposal with David Ritz. And David, after he heard the story, he's like, I want to do this. Yeah. So he worked with me on the proposal. We wrote the proposal, got the proposal together.
That's so awesome.
And what happened when they sent it out to the different publishers, the different publishing companies, they geared it more towards him, the writer. Oh, the writer, this is David Ritz, versus the story.
Versus your life.
Yeah. So they were like, we'll do this. No, we'll only give you this much.
What?
And then David Ritz is like, you know, he wants so much up front because he's really good. So much up front.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I can't afford to pay $250,000 up front, $300,000 up front. For someone to ghostwrite for me.
No, that's stupid.
To help. So
fuck that.
It's like, oh, now I sit here and I'm like, what am I going to do?
That's what he's going to do.
I'm listening.
So I'm like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to, you know, what am I going to do? So I got this new manager.
Damn, nice. You're good at that.
Got to learn your form.
Bernie Firstpan. Who's like runs the Metropolitan Room, who managed me and I totally trust. And he started sending things out and we got this a smaller publishing company and everything. Was not they aren't big or anything like
Thank
that,
you.
But they bit.
and everything. And then we found a guy who's wrote screenplays and things like that, who's going to work with me.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And he found out that reading my story, one thing that my sister said when reading the proposal, said, I want to hear your voice, because that's the one thing I wanted, was my voice. I want to tell my story. I don't want it about my dad.
I want it
about our similarities.
You don't want that shadow over you.
I don't want a Richard Pryor story. I want it, my story.
And I got to say, your story is really interesting.
Yeah.
You were telling me about your mother earlier.
Really interesting.
Yeah, I was telling, like, I was.
Just a quick little aside.
Just, I mean, oh, every time I've had him on my show, Fallen Woman, every time he's been on Fallen Woman. And by the way, archive episodes are available at fallenwoman.com, and you can look him up, and he is there telling his stories.
Yeah. I was telling her a story about my headaches.
Endless stories.
I was telling her a story about, you know, my headaches, how, you know, they came about, and my mother had migraines, and I was telling her, I said, well, migraines, the reason why I knew my mother had headaches, because my stepfather was verbally and physically abusive to my mother, and because she had headaches, he used to beat her head against the wall. Because she had headaches, he would take it and just beat her head against the wall.
That makes me so mad.
And then when I was like in eighth, going into ninth grade, I was in Hawaii with my dad for vacation. And then we get a call that my mother's in jail. And my dad gets a lawyer for my mom and gets her on probation because my mother tried to kill my stepdad. Because
good.
She ended up cutting him up.
Yeah, right?
Good.
She ends up cutting him up, and the police get there.
And he lives?
And she's still cutting him up.
And he's alive?
He was actually when the police got there, he was over my mom's back, and she's reaching back, still stabbing him.
Amazing.
And when they handcuff her, they say, you have a right to remain silent. And she says, I want to kill the motherfucker.
Fucking hero. Hero.
Yeah. Or hero. This woman's my hero.
And what it was, they were separated.
Oh my God.
And what it was, she went out to the motorhome park where he lived.
Uh-huh.
And she goes there, and his girlfriend at the time, her name was Georgia. She was there. He ended up marrying her. He was so drunk when they got married that he was walking down the aisle talking to his nephew, like, hey, Liddell, how you doing? He was so drunk.
Oh, my God.
She was mine. But I'm going to tell you some stories about him. It was so bad that she went out there and was talking, and she was telling my mother that you have to leave. And she was like, I don't have to leave. We're still married. No, I don't. And they were talking, and he was telling her to get out. She said, we're still married. We're going to talk. And then they got into this altercation, and she just, after all the years of abuse, she just lost it.
At the wedding?
No, she lost it at
with the police and the other
right to
remain
silent.
At the house, and then the police were called and thing. But my stepfather was so bad that I remember some fights. I'm serious. They had some fights. My mother had a horrible thing picking men. My mother picked men that were abusive from my father on, that treated her. She met my dad when she was 16 years old.
Wow.
And
how old was he?
He was, 18, 19?
Oh, okay.
Something like that?
Okay.
Because he was 19 or 20. No, he was older than that. My mother was 18, and he was 21 or something like when I was born. So my mother just turned 18. She turned 18 in July, so it was like a couple months she turned 18 when I was born. So she was 16 when they got married. I think she was pregnant, but they never talked about it.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Because that's why when they like talk about, in my dad's book, if you even look on IMDb, they have my birth year of being born. It's 1961.
They don't have the date.
No, my IMDb says 1961.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the birth date. I had to look at your Facebook for
61.
That.
It says 61. I wasn't born in 61. I was born in 1962.
Oh, it interesting.
The year is wrong.
Wow.
I was born in 1962.
April 5th, right?
April
10th. Damn it. So close.
Yeah. So they had that wrong. So that's mixed up. So it shows what my dad thought.
Right.
And his thinking of his mind, because of his drugs and all that, is totally opposite of what he thinks. And his abuse that he did with my mother and all that stuff, like the skillet thing, my mother hit him with the skillet and all that stuff, the abuse.
God.
It was screwed up.
Well, at least your mom was a fighting bitch.
Oh, she fought. Seriously. And then years later, my stepfather, when I was, I remember one time I was actually in the, I'll never forget this. I was laying in the bed. I was like seventh, eighth grade. I was laying in the bed. My stepfather's in the bed, and I'm laying at the foot. And I remember laying real close to him like this. And I didn't know sexuality or anything, but I felt like, you know, you feel this kind of
like. You feel the tension.
That tension there.
Jinx.
Yeah.
No. You feel this. There's something.
I owe you about 1,000 beers.
What is this? What,
you could cut something. It with a, you could cut it with a knife.
There's something there. There's some kind of.
Something's happening.
I didn't know what it was. That's why we're going to call my book When I Was 12.
Because
I relate everything to when I was 12.
That's a wonderful title.
Isn't it great?
Oh my God.
You were saying it's great.
Yeah.
That's
it's such
so
a good one.
Good.
Yeah. When I was 12. Because I relate everything to 12 years old in my mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I relate.
So, yeah.
I relate.
Mine would be 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a couple 12. Years, though. Mine is like 6. 8, 12.
Oh yeah, 12. I have many of those.
And then there's like a 16.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And then 25.
Yeah.
I want to say 33.
Yeah.
And I have 42. That's my last
lot of numbers. I should have been taking
earmark numbers.
I have many, but a lot of them I go back to.
Significant.
12.
A lot of shit went down at 12.
I have go back to 12. No matter what it is, it's like. 12 is it's either that something happened there or I'm comfortable with that saying that number, you know what I mean, because I go back to 12 with everything. But anyway, years later I walk into a gay bar. So I'm there at the club,
as you're wont to do.
I'm there in the club, and who's sitting at the bar?
No,
get the fuck out.
Really?
My stepfather.
What?
Yes.
What?
Did he?
What?
A twist.
Oh my God,
a twist.
I think I just lost my shit.
I'll look for it, see if I can find it.
I'm glad I didn't eat anything before the show, because it'd be all messy
and
right
like,
now.
What?
Oh my God.
And my thing, I walked up to him, I said.
You walked up to him.
Yes, you did. Because his mother's a fighting bitch, and so is he.
And I said, you got it from your mama.
I said, what the fuck are you doing here?
I'm surprised you didn't send him a drink.
Like, no.
Send him a buy.
Oh,
him
no,
a,
we sat there and just, I had a drink with him.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
And he came out to you?
He didn't come out, no.
Do you think that explains some of the abuse, though? Because
it made it all clear.
My father was an intense misogynist with my mother, and he was very. He had a lot of bisexuality going on with my dad.
It made it all clear.
And he was in the closet.
It made it all clear.
Okay, yeah, thought so.
But he didn't ever bother you.
Wow.
Just that one tense thing.
It answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, that you had since you were 12.
It answered
Since I was 12.
I had some questions.
It answered a lot of questions.
Talk about closure. Wow.
And then a lot of things also that helped with, like, even my sister, who was she's my heart. I raised her. When she was born, I carried her on my hip. You know, 10 years old, right?
Aww.
It was her dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I carried her on my hip, and then
I'm jealous. I would have loved to have you as a brother.
Her husband. I used to tell her when she got married. I used to tell her, "Your husband's gay," and she would not listen to me. And he found out, came out. Then her son, I would tell it, come out. And then one time, she told me after her son came out, her husband came out to her and left her and stuff. And then one time she called me on the phone and we got in an argument about something. She was like, "Oh, me and you can put pantyhose on and go toe to toe." I walked to her house.
Such closure.
I walked to her house. No, because she had all the internet. You know, I walked to her house, knocked on the door. She opened the door. I said, "Don't you ever respect me again?"
Disrespect.
And
Don't
you ever disrespect me?
Do not respect me.
No, man.
I know. Yeah.
I
continued, and I whipped her ass.
Oh, my.
No,
oh,
I had to. I had
she
to.
Said toe-to-toe.
I had to.
She did say toe-to-toe.
And we didn't talk for like 4 or 5 months, but I had to let her know. And then after we started speaking again, but we're close as, we're so close, but I had to let her know, I'm your big brother, I love you, no matter what. And your son, you have to love your son regardless.
Aww.
Regardless of what your dad
that
is.
That was your big motivation.
Regardless of what your husband did.
Mm-hmm.
And now she loves all of them.
So it was learning, a teaching moment.
It was
moment.
A teaching moment yeah. for her.
Tough loving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So where can we find you?
You can find me right here, baby.
Yeah. Promise.
You can find me. Actually,
I like you a little drunk. Actually, you're a little nicer to me.
Actually, you can find me on RichardPryorJrShow.com or Richard Pryor or Rich Pryor Jr. Me. You can find me at .com
mm-hmm.
or I'm doing a movie right now in Michigan starting in next week called Prepper's Grove. I'm doing that. So check me out.
Pepper's Grove?
Preppers.
Preppers.
Preppers
Not
Grove.
Bachelor's Grove.
Not Bachelor's Grove. Preppers Grove.
You spend a lot of time in groves.
I love groves. I love fields. Uh-huh. I love swamps. I love meadows.
And Velocity, I know we can find you at Fallen Woman.
And I love you.
I love you too.
Dude, cheers, man.
Cheers to that, guys.
Yeah.
I know we can find you at fallenwoman.com.
Well, that's the main archive site I have for my radio show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And there's Instagram. You can find me at VelocityNYC. And I'm Badass Velocity on Twitter. Yeah, and I'll be, tomorrow night, I will be at the Golden Pasty Awards at the Highline Ballroom for the New York Burlesque Festival.
I want to see her perform.
With an incredible cast of characters and massive talent.
I've never seen you perform.
I'm shocked.
Ever?
Maybe I...
You have to.
You
have at least
I can
once.
Tell.
Really?
No, you really
have. Because you would
I
know. You would know.
We've been around. We've been.
You would remember.
We've been. Oh, I know.
So book a drag, Burt Boylesque, at your next show.
Because we've been around the same people. And we've dated a same person.
We've definitely.
And I don't know who it could be.
Gee, I wonder who.
And we've been to the same events.
We have sucked the same dick.
You're Eskimo Sibs.
I remember one time, I was like, how do I make this relationship better?
Yeah.
And she was telling me, this is what you need to wear. She was like,
she's such a good relationship advice. Yeah.
Overalls. Oh, should I tell you about the overalls?
Yeah, wear their overalls.
Really?
And I do their overalls. Overalls didn't work for the dude.
No, yeah. I think it was really meant for the girl.
Yeah, it was meant for the girls.
The gentleman in question is bi.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I was giving him the girl advice when I really... just went
he's
wrong.
He's very different.
Yeah,
I don't know hilarious. Who he is, but he's very different in his guy hilarious. And his girl
well,
life.
Well, because when he's with women, he's a dom. But when he's with men, he's a bottom. And he doesn't, I don't think he wants to stop wearing overalls.
But you know what's
the whole point of overalls is easy access. What was they thinking?
But you know what?
You didn't know. You had him. You knew what you knew.
But you know what was different with us, though?
Just brain farted.
He was, when we were sexually, I was dom.
Mm-hmm.
But before that,
uh-huh.
he was dumb.
Oh, you mean in the general relationship, but
because,
in the bedroom, opposite.
If he wore those brown boots,
yeah,
he still wears them. If I see him,
oh, those sexy brown Doc Martens.
Doc Martens. If I see them, they still, even though we're not together, they still
they
trigger,
do it for
trigger
you?
Me. They still trigger
it
me.
It makes your cock kind of go tweak, tweak, tweak.
It triggers
me.
I didn't say all that.
Yeah, but you meant it.
But they still trigger me. It still triggers me.
He slapped me and it felt good.
You like? I cannot wait for everything that's about to happen when we go off air.
You
I'm going to see all this magic.
It.
Oh, wait. You never played that.
I'm playing it now.
Yes.
That's me. But you never said what it was.
Because we have
and you missed the whole thing, though.
10 seconds left.
Yeah.
But this is...
Yeah.